Talk more about that report released yesterday into the death of Savita Halappanavar in Galway University Hospital last October. The HSE, who carried out the review, say the clinical staff at the hospital failed to properly assess or monitor a dying woman's condition. Later in the programme, we'll be talking to the HSE's National Director of Quality and Patient Safety, Dr. Philip Crowley. But for now, let's speak to Sheila O'Connor. She's National Coordinator of the Patient Advocacy Group, Patient Focus. Sheila, good morning to you.
Hello, Gavin.
I know your group, though not yourself, were represented on this review group. What's your reaction to what it found?
Well, we are very pleased at Patient Focus at the thoroughness, the promptness and the fairness of this review. Undoubtedly, this was a splendid job. I think that is true. By any standards, I think that is true. Unfortunately, we can't say that for every damaged patient or our family of somebody who died within the system, because the quality and promptness of this is, I would say, unique.
In what sense?
Well, mostly patients who have bad things happen to them in hospitals, often they don't know that they shouldn't have happened. I mean, I think the HSE themselves would be the first to know, to admit that a large number of people die unnecessarily in our hospitals every year. They put the figure, I understand, at about 2,000. And an incredibly large number of people are injured. Now, clearly, we can't do huge investigations into all of those. But patients frequently pursue a review and an investigation into what happened to themselves or to their own family member with a wish to get answers for the death or for the injury that occurred. And it usually, reviews are set up, they're set up at a local level, they take an incredibly long time, frequently, easily a year to have terms of reference set up, and frequently several years before there's a result. Things are improving, Gavin. I think it would be totally unfair of me to say that they aren't. And neither would I like to lay the blame totally or even majorly at the feet of people in the National Incident Management Team and the quality section of the Department of HSE, because I think there are people with an awful lot of responsibility but not a lot of power behind them, because there really is no statutory basis to the reviews that they do.
Sheila, just to be clear, because I know when you spoke about a large number of mistakes and for people who mm-hmm. who might be alarmed, I mean, would it be fair to say that it's the reaction to those mistakes rather than the volume, we'll say, by comparison with other health systems
right.
that you're
I'm
most concerned about?
I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we're a lot worse than other countries, but the truth is we don't know whether we are or not, because we don't do
Why not, do you think? Why not, do you think, Sheila? Why have we been so poor at reacting and perhaps explaining to patients or families who have been affected why things have gone wrong?
Because I think the patient culturally has been an outsider within the healthcare system, and that this is a culture, it takes an incredibly long time to change. And I think that explains the variability around the country in the willingness of hospitals and professionals to engage with patients and their families when injury occurs. And, you know, so the change is variable and sporadic and very uneven, though it is definitely there. Like 10 years ago, none of this would have happened, Gavin. So I'm not saying that that this is dreadful or that there's no improvement or that there aren't good people with serious intent to improve things, but we have a very long way to go, and we don't have the statistics to measure how we're doing, and we don't have statutory basis for this either. So there are the serious problems. The situation is even worse in that sounds terrible, but the situation is definitely worse in private hospitals, where there is, you know, patients really in a sense have no protection. They have in public hospitals and state-run hospitals, people do have considerably more protection now than they had in the past, but that isn't true of private hospitals because there's no monitoring.
Do you think that when you mention private, do you think this has a lot to do with a fear of litigation, or at least a fear of perceived litigation? That the worry that anything that you might do or say in the result after something having gone wrong might land you in trouble means that there's often silence for quite a while.
That is certainly part of it, and that's a very but it isn't the whole story, because this silence and this lack of communication existed in our healthcare system well before people started suing. In actual fact, it probably was the reason why people started suing. But you raise a very important issue as well there, Gavin, when you because reviews that are done in hospitals of errors, it's very important that they're done to prevent future errors and learning. And there is only a two-year time frame within which a damaged patient or family can sue for medical error. And if many hospitals will abandon a review if a patient starts to sue, so the learning is then further delayed if a patient seeks compensation for their injury, which is everybody's right to do. So I think it's a complex matter, and I think it's culture. It's long-established culture back in the 20th century, internationally.
We'll be putting some of these points to Philip Crowley later in the programme. But one perhaps surprise recommendation when you spoke about culture in the report issued yesterday was to improve counselling services for women, husbands, partners following miscarriage and other serious incidents during pregnancy, the implication being that it didn't really exist before now.
That also is variable. It's something that we're really in favour of in patient focus. We would also like improved advocacy services for people who have wider advocacy services for people who have injury occurring. But the counselling is really critical, because healing is really what matters in the end of the day. And openness. We need a duty of candour, a statutory duty of candour for patients, so that the truth is imperative that it comes out, because healing follows on from truthfulness, because people aren't vindictive. They're not trying to get at people. They're actually trying to get answers. And I really do think that counselling, together with truth-telling, is the ultimate answer.
Sinéad O'Connor, National Coordinator with Patient Focus, thank you for speaking to us. 26 minutes past 7.